I've broken my questions up into two basic groups. I'm mostly interested in the Citizens Emergency Committee. And I've been a long time. Starting at Lord Buckley's death and taking the clips through the end of the month there with the formation of the committee. Emergency committee. Do you have any recollection of when you first came into contact with Lord Buckley, or was it?
I don't think I ever met Lord Buckley.
You never met him. You never saw him in house or anything.
I never went to. I might have, but I said I don't think I ever heard him perform. Like, he wasn't performing. I guess he couldn't get his cabaret card.
Yeah, well, he was performing at the Jazz Gallery.
I don't think I ever saw him.
And that was where the cabaret card was taken away from him about 2 weeks before he died. Okay. That's out of the way. Let's get down to the CEC for a sec. Why did the Citizens Emergency Committee champion his cause? What was it about him that galvanized that kind of support, where a lot of other people, say, for instance, like Charlie Parker and Thelonious Monk, have been denied their cabaret card for many years? Yet.
I have no idea. The thing that I always thought was so remarkable about the Citizens Emergency Committee was that it was this high-powered group, and it really was high-powered. I mean, everybody was on it. It was all through the arm-twisting of Doc Humes, as I recall. He had this, sort of got this bit in his teeth about this performer. And I guess it had to do with words, rather than, Thelonious Monk and Charlie Parker were musicians, where this fellow was a monologuist. He dealt with, he was a sort of a more verbal character than the others. And he couldn't perform. There was something about he became a sort of a mythological figure to all of us. I don't think many of us had ever been down there to see him or heard him. But Lord Buckley, there was something about this mysterious man that, and Humes's arm twisting that got everybody all collected around and involved in this campaign. Have you got a list of the people that were on the committee?
Yeah, I do. Well, according to the clippings, the people who were at the meeting that I believe took place here, I guess, did you live here then?
Yeah.
Were Doc, Mark Lane.
Yeah.
Mark Lane, the same Mark Lane,
Rush
to Judgment and all that. Lewis Allen, theatrical agent. Robert Silvers, I believe, was an editor at Harper's. And Doc said that other members included Barney Rossett, Dan Ogden Stewart from The New Yorker, I believe.
Yeah, Donald Ogden Stewart.
Donald Ogden, okay. Elaine Lollard, the Newport Jazz founder. David Amram, and Norman Potthards.
Yeah.
So that's a very eclectic conglomeration right there. I'm interested in Doc's spearheading, the crusade. What was it, the motivation, or was it, as you said, because he saw Lord Buckley as essentially a writer and a poet and a monologuist, someone who was involved with the written and spoken word? No. Do you think he had any political aspirations, say, using the CEC as a springboard towards something else?
Yeah.
The move. Doc once told me that he was working on a film called Don Peyote, in which Lord Buckley was going to be used. That doesn't ring a bell.
No, I remember Don Peyote, but I don't
know what happened to it.
I don't know what happened to it. We chattered about it a lot.
What do you know about Lord Buckley's death?
Nothing.
Nothing. The CEC charged, actually, I believe it was Doc charged that the death was hastened by the result of the police harassment in the wake of the cavalry card confiscation and...
I doubt it.
Okay. I mean, I know Doc has a wave going on, believe me. You don't have any photographs of Lord Buckley, because according to David Amram, he could be wrong, I talked to him, he says that he was at a party here with Lord Buckley the night Lord Buckley died, but that doesn't...
I don't remember that.
What happened to the CEC?
I think after Buckley died, actually the cabaret card, it succeeded, as I recall. I mean, the cabaret card business was finally, by edict, done away with.
7 years later, actually.
7 years later?
But well, I think by that point it had been a de facto cooling off.
Yeah.
Although in the immediate period following his death, there was a big crackdown on cabarets in general. It wasn't just musicians and performers. It was doormen and bartenders and... A lot of people were subject to its restrictions. There was a guitar playing in Washington Square Park, Crusade too. There was a business, you know, I guess the Dillons and the Dave Van Ronks, and just a lot of folkies used to hang out in the park. Doc once told me that the CEC was responsible for allowing that to continue. Does that ring a bell?
Hi. Yeah.
Sure.
Sure, I can help you more. I don't. It seemed to me that a lot of this committee was almost social. It was. There used to be meetings, but I remember. I don't recall petitions. I don't recall what the force of the thing was. It was a citizens' emergency committee, and it was a. How much power it had, I really don't know. I think it just voiced a lot of complaints. It tried to get the press involved. Tried to get. There were a lot of stories that came in. I guess they're all in here. I haven't had a chance to look through this, obviously.
I just brought them along, hoping that maybe just if you saw it clipping, it would.
Yeah, well,
it would jog a memory.
I see the Norman Mailer stuff is in here, but what has that got to do with
it? Well, I just put that in there because it was a particular. I just had that in the file because it was just interesting to me looking through the old clippings. In the two-week period around the time Buckley died, Kennedy had just gotten elected, and Mailer stabbed his wife, and it seemed as though the times were rather rife with controversy and change. Yeah, I have a bunch of other questions, but they really wouldn't pertain to our conversation. But I'm glad to have touched base with you, because you were a part of the last chapter of the epilogue, shall we say, of Lord Buckley's.
You're doing a whole life of Buckley.
I'm doing something similar to what you did with Edie.
Oh yeah,
an oral biography.
Oh God, I'm certainly not helping you with that. I mean, I'm not helping you with giving you anything that has any juice. I mean,
well,
I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. I mean, I'm interested in the CEC, and any little bit helps. Yeah. And the one paragraph that you have there is certainly worthy of being put into the proposal. But I'm certainly in contact with many people who knew him intimately.
Yeah. Well,
and my impression from talking to other people in the CEC was that they, as you say, they didn't really know him. They knew of him. He had a legendary stature, or you say mythological, sort of a mythological bohemian, or maybe the ultimate white Negro, as Norman Mailer would say.
Yeah, here's a petition I see, urging Governor Rockefeller to probe the police department. Oh, I remember this, yeah. All this business of transferring the pension fund to another, I do remember this now.
It was a whole kickback thing that was going on. Basically, they were shaking down people in the cabarets.
And there was a big attempt to change the whole cabaret licensing from one department to another, but I can't remember now.
What do you think people would think of Buckley today? Would he just be a curiosity in lieu of the sort of the shock genre of comedians that are out?
Oh yeah, because after all, And a whole bunch of those people came along afterward, like Mort Sahl and then...
Lenny
Bruce, I guess, was the... Because he had much more problems, many more problems than Buckley did, to put it mildly.
Yeah, really.
And I can't remember now what the stipulation was to get a cabaret card. Was it licensed? What was the? How did you get one removed?
Well, you had one removed if you had a police record, and he lied that he said that he never had a police record, where in fact he had been arrested and convicted in Reno, I believe, in 1951 for public drunkenness. And he was busted on a pot charge at 1.2. I don't really have much more on that. His life was really fascinating, though. I mean, I hope when my book comes out, you'll check it out, because it really, it went from dance marathons and 10 shows. He worked in Al Capone's bars.
Yeah.
He was really more than a Beat Generation person. Yeah. I mean, I think we tend to look at him as a sort of 50s figure.
Yeah.
But really, you know, he toured with Ed Sullivan during the war, and there was a lot more to him than just the pot smoking and the jive talk. But I just want to thank you again. I felt that it was important to touch base. And as I said, you know, Doc has a lot to say. As we spoke on the phone, he won't give me the time of day until I talk to other people.
Yeah.
You and Dulag up at the Village Gate.
How is Doc?
I'm not really in contact with him. I called him up about the project. It was the first time I had talked to him in many years. And hey, the same. Maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit more browbeaten than usual. I mean, he's a difficult person.
Memory is very clear on all of this.
It is, yes. And particular. Yeah, he has his own idea of what it was all about.
Yeah.
And,
well,
and his own conspiracy theories about Buckley's death, of course. But I have a hard time swallowing them, although I think they would be good to have. I mean, Doc is a colorful person, and he expresses himself in a colorful way.
Yeah.